Happy Tuesday, everyone. How are you doing today? I'm doing well, and thank you for asking. Welcome to A Voice of a People, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. My name is Linda Sims, and I'm so happy that you tuned in today. Also, we stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app on any electronic device and search WWGH. Now, the name of that free app is TuneIn, okay? You know what? I downloaded that thing, and I was listening to the elections, right? I couldn't get it off my phone.
Couldn't get the elections off your phone?
I couldn't get the TuneIn app closed off, you know? So I just deleted the app. Wow, huh? But anyway,
I had to do stuff like that.
If you want to call in and be a part of this show today, please call 740-383-9944. Again, 740-383-9944. Let me share this with you. We have 52 days left in the year 2021. It just seems almost impossible that this year has gone by so fast. And we have 16 days before Thanksgiving. Turkey Day. Gobble, gobble, gobble. We got a turkey under set today, right?
There's a turkey in here. One besides me.
Oh, wow. Okay, now, those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, Chappie's Hydraulic Hole Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number there, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. It will take place November the 20th. It begins at 12 noon to 2 p.m. Now, we know this is a holiday coming, Turkey Day. So, if you know of someone in need of free produce, please share this information with them. Last but not least, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. Owner, Cheryl Lee. Location, LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. And thank you for your faithfulness, those of you who listen faithfully. And if it's your first time, hopefully it won't be your last time and you will enjoy the show. I like to start my show off with a thought for today, and it's titled, Being Content. And of course, what have I done with it, right? It's coming.
Are you sure that's not the one you erased?
Thanks, Dad.
Being content. Here it goes. That's what I like about Google. It doesn't take it long.
Well, depends on what kind of phone you got.
All right. Good thoughts for a healthy mind. Whenever I am is wherever I am meant to be. Whatever I am doing is whatever I am meant to be doing. And whatever everyone else is doing is exactly what they are meant to be doing. This is contentment. If you do want to change where you are or what you are doing, the first thing is to be content with wherever you are and whatever you are doing right now. Paradoxically, hopefully that was correct.
It's a handful.
Yes. That's what attracts opportunities and invitations to be somewhere else. Why? Because you are a living magnet, and contentment is one of your most attractive qualities. And the law of attraction says that according to your dominant thoughts, so you will attract the people and circumstances into your life. Being content right now attracts the best possible future. Take note of that, everybody. That was a powerful thought for today, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yep. Very powerful.
That's Jeff Porter, our author of Expressions of the Last Days, a doomsday prophet. And Wow, what kind of day are we living in today, Jeff?
Well, we're living in a day where people don't want to hear that. That's for sure. You know, everything's got to be positive.
So how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
About you?
I'm doing fine.
Doing I haven't well. Been in the hospital for quite a while, so I'm happy.
Well, praise God for that, right?
Yeah.
We'll be content with that then. Absolutely. All righty then. Now, I know last time you were here, we always get into a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we always get off the subject.
Yeah, but still, it comes right hand in hand with the subject.
It fits in like a jigsaw puzzle.
Right. And so, Jeff is going to talk about
the mark of the beast.
The mark of the beast.
But there's a few things that lead up to it.
Oh, okay.
Now, you were asking me last week when we were off the air, you said, I'm afraid I won't know who the Antichrist is. But I don't think that's going to be a problem because in order to take the mark of the beast has to be a conscious decision. It can't be a sneaky thing because you're deciding your own destiny and you're deciding to worship the Antichrist by taking the mark. And so it's a test. See, God is testing the world, saying, whose side are you on? You got to be on one side or the other. You can't be in between. There's no hiding your faith anymore. And there's no hiding your lack of faith anymore. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, really, the mark of the beast, we find it, the Antichrist applies the mark of the beast about halfway through the tribulation. Now, theoretically, the tribulation lasts 7 years. And you get that from the seven-year thing from Daniel 9:28. And I was going to go there. But what somebody asked me a while back when I was talking about my book, and I forgot how we came up with the seven-year tribulation thing. I said, I better look that back up again because people are going to think you're flaky. That's a pretty big it's an important concept. So I kept looking and I totally forgot.
And you know, most scholars say that we won't be here, the church won't be here when the Antichrist is revealed.
For me, that's a big gripe.
Yeah.
Because.
So why should we know all this information if we're not going to be here?
Why do they even preach it if we're not going to be here? Why do they even bother?
Oh, they preach it. We're going to be gone. We're going to be out of here when he's revealed. That's why they want to preach it.
A lot of people start to get disappointed that the rapture hasn't taken place yet.
Oh, really?
Look at all the turmoil. Political turmoil. We got bad weather, earthquakes, tidal waves, thunderstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes.
Right, and a lot of death.
And so every now and then I'll turn on the Weather Channel and watch one of those big episodes where they have this town got hit by a big hurricane. And they stay there because they think they're going to be all right. And then the water comes up to like three stories up.
Wow.
And they're like, wow, what do you do? You know, you need
sink or swim,
you
right?
You need a big boat. And they said the army sent in, you know, they've got these. I didn't even know they had these. I was in the army, and I didn't even know they had these boats. Maybe they're more a recent thing.
Could be.
But it's hard to escape the wrath of God, and that's what I think some of this stuff is. It's not necessarily the tribulation with the bad weather and everything, but a precursor.
Go ahead.
And what's it? The things that are happening today that are, like I said, the turmoil, the brouhaha, political turmoil, and the bad weather especially, and volcanoes and all that, are a warning. And it's telling us, hey man, the tribulation's pretty bad. So we need to turn back to God. And that's why I talk about Bible prophecy a lot, because it's a warning that these things that are in the book of Revelation, if you read the book of Revelation, pretty scary stuff in there. So, we need to talk about it. We need to find out if we're right with God or not. Jesus said in Matthew 24, for then shall be great tribulation, which trials and troubles and tribulations. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not from the beginning of the world to this time, known or ever shall be, and except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Now, what led up to it? You did go ahead and said about the trying times that we're living in today, the weather,
yes,
and all that. This, all these things will,
yes,
lead up to the mark of the beast.
Right. You know, it's been leading up to the tribulation and the mark of the beast since Eve took a bite of that
apple.
That apple,
whatever,
or whatever it was.
Right.
Sparkly thing, maybe. I don't know. And, well, see, they didn't have these wonderful candy shops yet. But I don't know how they lived without them.
I think it was a frog.
Oh, no. A frog. Well, anyways, and so all of the things that have happened in the world from the very beginning, and Israel being invaded and busted up, went out into the world as the Bible predicted, then they came back together and became a nation again. And the Lord said, when that happens, you know, you'll know that the time is extremely short, because Israel has been reestablished as a nation. And look at what a great example, that's solid evidence that what the Bible says is true, because all of those prophecies about Israel being split up and scattered throughout the world and coming back together is a tremendous evidence that the Bible is accurate, you know. And so, as time goes on, the world, and it's, you know, and the Bible did predict, and it's still, you know, if you look in there and look up some of these scriptures where it's telling you that the world keeps getting more and more evil. Darkness and more darkness and more darkness. And look how fascinated the world is with all this darkness. I mean, you got the occult. You know, you turn on, TV is dark. If you ever watch it, you can tell, you know, with all the witches and warlocks and people on there casting spells and all kinds of, you know, and they even have the devil on there quite a bit, you know. He gets to put in his 2 cents. So
he's doing that every day anyway, right?
Yep, he is.
Before
but
the throne
of God.
It's
becoming more and more obvious.
Yes, yes it is.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, and like 15, 16, 17, I was fascinated with that stuff. I didn't get deep into it because I didn't know how.
Right.
But hardly anybody knew anything about it. Hardly anybody was interested in it. I remember I used to be so happy when a science fiction show came on, you know, and the TV is like, oh, wow, look here. You know, Journey to the Center of the Earth is on. You know?
That was one of my favorite movies.
Wasn't that?
Yes.
That was a good show.
Pat Boone played on that one.
Yeah?
That was the original one, yeah.
Did you read the book? The book was really good.
No, I didn't read
the book.
The book
was really, really good.
No, I didn't.
And War of the Worlds?
Yeah, that one too, yeah. Gene Barry, that was the original one. Then Tom Cruise did one. I liked that one too.
I liked it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could tell that the older version was more moral.
Yeah,
you know?
It was quite bloody.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise.
Well, it was just that, the language, the attitudes, you know.
It's a change of times.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And that's why we're in
our new culture.
About to join in. I'm on number 4.
But now, you know, you have these movies that, that are full of darkness, you know. And so as it goes on, it just builds up and it gets worse and worse until God is really left with no choice but to begin to really judge the world.
Right, right.
And I think the tribulation will start with economic collapse, worldwide economic collapse.
You still
collapse.
Believe that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So how close do you think we're to that?
Well, Biden keeps doing his thing, not very long.
What thing is that?
Huh?
What thing is that?
Oh, my gosh. He's, you know, he's wrecked the economy. He's trying to.
That was already wrecked?
No. No, it
oh,
wasn't.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that bad in America.
Yeah, I'm talking about America. Yeah.
Donald Trump did a lot of good stuff, and our economy was.
But he still spent money.
It's our economy starting to recover. Well, the problem with Biden is he's shutting off all the oil in America. See, for environmental purposes, you know, shutting down pipelines and drilling and all that, because we're supposed to be finding alternative energy sources. And we just don't have the technology right now to run everything off of solar or wind. That's about the only major things we've got for energy, so we're in trouble.
Does it make you miss the 70s when the gas jumped up?
Yeah. Well, I think some of the, you know, the energy crisis back in the 70s and stuff, I think some of that was kind of fakey. You know, they're just trying to run the price up is all they were doing. But now, you know, and there's just all kinds of tensions between the nations. They're not very cooperative. They, you know, if the nations were more cooperative, you'd have more money flow. But they're, you know, they're,
well,
like,
you know, the,
not happy with each other.
And then other nations was cut off for the past 3 years. We just, the our former president, he just cut off all ties with them.
Not all, not all.
Just
ties.
About.
But I think Biden has some major, major problems.
I think every president does. I would not want to be president.
Can you imagine walking into that sort of role and just,
I know,
suddenly
worldwide.
Just crushed by the, you know, the
the
hey,
weight of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
We expect this, this, and this, and you can't do this, and that. You know, it's like, okay, sure.
Well, he was vice president for quite a while.
Yeah, we know. Uncle Joe, I know.
He should have caught on.
Well, I think he did. There are certain things every president wants is on their agenda to do. Everybody has a different agenda, but still trying to keep the country together. But our country is so divided.
Yeah.
It's just so divided.
It's like the rest of the world.
Yeah. It's just divided, and there's not much you can do with that, you know. Just like you, God can't make people come to him, you know, or
no.
Do right, you know. So the president has the same.
Well, I had a relative not too long ago. I talk about the last days quite a bit, you know.
Yeah.
And she was agreeing with me, and then all of a sudden she goes, I don't believe we're in the last days. I said, why is that? She goes, there's just too many nice people left of the world.
And it's not about the niceness of people that leads us to the end of the world. It's the all the evil. And God says that men will wax, that means grow, worse
wax
and
cold.
Worse, and get more evil.
Yeah.
More and more, you
and
know.
And they are.
Yeah. Just like in the days of Noah, he said it would be like that when he returns. And how was it in the days of Noah? Every imagination of man became evil.
Yep, that's
and
right.
And that's why the flood
the
came and all that, you know.
Continuously evil.
Yeah, continuously evil. And
but wouldn't redemption be allowed at some point? I mean,
he did.
Well, I mean,
had to.
Not everybody's, it's, you know, the world is kind of what it is, but I mean, there is some redemption if you want to work towards it. It's just, it's hard to notice with everything else clouding it, I guess.
But there is redemption, and you have to accept that redemption to be saved out of...
Well, I mean, redeeming themselves, not just through somebody else. I mean, redeeming yourself is what I'm getting at. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can redeem yourself.
It's just a matter of people don't want to, I guess, really.
No,
right.
They don't care, but I mean, those who want to get ignored, I think.
I think most of the world just goes along with what everybody else is doing.
Unfortunately,
a lot of
sheeps.
You know.
It's,
yeah,
it is.
They are.
It's boom. Part of culture.
You
got to
think
know.
For yourself.
Unfortunately, yeah, but
yeah.
Yet they don't.
Right.
You no, do. They don't.
You do have to think for yourself. And one thing you also have to understand, Christ says no one can get to the Father except through him. And the Father says no one can get to the Son except he draw them by his Spirit. So and people say, well, God's not in control of everything, but he is. We can't pinpoint God. We can't say or put him in this box. He only does this and he only does that.
It's like the football league people who they thank him, but they don't blame him if they lose. You know, it's
right.
Like okay, there's got okay,
right.
Which is which.
There's
you know?
That thing
right.
Called free moral agency.
That's right. He's,
where God allows you
free will.
If you want to do evil, then he
but
doesn't stop.
You see, the abusive is like oh, they blame it. They thank him for everything, but blame him for nothing. And so I'm like okay, so who are we blaming him for?
Yeah.
So it's rather strange. I'm like okay.
I mean, if you were sitting there talking to a serial killer, I most of them don't even blame God. They know I did it, you know, okay. They realize that God didn't cause that, you know.
No.
But you've got a world where either God has choices too. I mean, either he has to give us free moral agency or not. Either we're free to choose between good and evil and do what God would have us do. Love one another.
And we are. We
or
do have free will.
We can kill each other.
And yeah, all that goes on, you know. And there's all of it goes on. That's all I can say. People love one another. People kill one another. It all goes on in this world. And we are free agents. We, even Adam and Eve had pro-choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Didn't they? Pro-choice. You know, eat this apple or not eat this apple. If you do, you'll die. What did they do?
Well,
they ate of the tree.
If you wouldn't have done any better, I don't think.
If you got convinced by a talking snake, I don't know what you would do. I mean, realistically speaking, that would throw anybody off. I'm like, should we? I don't know. You know, it's fairly...
And he stood upright.
That's even worse. He had limbs. That makes him a lizard, not a snake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't wonder
and,
what
you
he...
know, and Satan,
more of a gecko, really.
Yeah. And Satan can appear, he can appear as an angel of light, so we don't really know exactly.
Well, he was one at one point, was he not? I mean, he was crucified and all those other things for what he did. I get that, okay. I don't know.
He wasn't crucified, but...
Not in the sense, but he's crucified, but okay.
Got in trouble, yeah.
Yes, big time.
Well, Jesus triumphed over him through the cross.
Yeah.
So, all you have to do, there's nothing hard about getting saved. All you have to do is ask Jesus
surrender.
To be in your heart.
And surrender.
And be sincere about it.
So was not Satan able to be saved, or he just didn't want to be? I mean, is there...
Abel?
Possibly, why not? I
mean, Cain killed Abel.
Cain, he's not exactly evil. I mean, there's different variations, I think, to a point.
It's just the problem is
perspective.
Once Eve ate that fruit, the whole universe went into a state of deterioration.
Well, that's just the sickness of mankind to fall into temptation.
The nature of sin.
And you know,
nature.
Some people feel that Satan should be able to
be saved. But it wasn't Satan
himself
that did it. It was the temptation of the simplicity of mankind. Okay, anyway, sorry.
Yeah, but you know, he was more subtle. Isn't that what it says in Genesis?
He's more subtle than the rest of the animals.
More sly and wicked, and he was able to persuade her to eat of the fruit. Okay,
yeah.
So she ate of the fruit. But his sin was...
I don't think I could have done any better because nothing like that had ever happened yet.
Right. But his sin was he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be worshipped like God. So he turned one-third of the angels against God. They followed him.
His own arrogance led to his own downfall. It's kind of
fun. Yes.
Sounds kind of familiar.
And there's no...
it happens all the time, but no one, you know, it matters how you deal with it. But there's always some sort of redemption, I think, at least at some point. If you really feel bad about what you've done.
True.
Yeah.
If you feel
sort
bad
of,
about it.
You know,
yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. There's a thing called grace.
Yes.
In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For it is by grace
you
are
saved."
Grace means God shows us love, compassion, mercy, and especially forgiveness, even though we don't deserve it.
Well, you don't have to. That's
the
whole point.
The
that was the whole point of the sacrifice, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I mean,
yes,
that was the whole
point
of it.
The whole point.
So it simplified everything.
Right.
But, I mean, some take a little too far, I guess. I mean, there's a limit at some point, right?
But
I
there's
mean,
nothing.
Well, it doesn't seem like it. Maybe.
There's nothing you can't be forgiven for.
God knows your heart.
For the most part. I mean, there's got to be some limit.
That's only thing that sends you to hell is unbelief.
Okay, well then I guess paper
you can
and life
be redeemed.
It,
you can be redeemed. You can repent and surrender your heart to God and your life to God. Like some of us. You know, we weren't perfect.
Well, nobody is. If they claim to be, boy, they make too much money. No. It's true, isn't it? It's true.
Right.
It's just,
you know, what did he save me from? You know, what did he save Jeff from?
Yeah.
When you look at other people, it's not
just,
that...
Just.
We've always walked down this narrow path, you know, hey.
Isn't the whole thing just live your life just as best as you can without trying to, you know, get in the way of everybody else?
No, that really isn't.
Well, don't try to make other people upset. Just, you know,
you still have to love your neighbor. You still have to do that.
Don't
Absolutely. Try
to make them upset, but if you do, you know, work with it as
the
you
thing
go.
Is that eventually God gives you an assignment.
You know,
if you went down the road and you started learning the word, learning what he wanted to teach you, eventually he's going to say, "Okay, I want you
Warning.
To."
Warning.
He'll draw you.
I want
Hi,
you.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I want you to be. You know, he might want you to be a doctor. He might want you to be an electrical engineer. He might want you to be a preacher.
Whatever
Everybody's
path is
different.
Best for you is the whole thing, isn't it?
Yes.
What God wants for you is best for you.
I mean, you're going to find it one way or the other. Whether you,
some people find their calling and they're not.
Some
they
people
don't even ever get saved.
Well, they don't have to be sometimes, I guess. I mean,
no, because millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires,
they don't
they
feel
may
bad
not
about a lot of things.
Christ, oh, no. But they follow some of the precepts of the Word. Yeah. Like tithing and stuff like that, you know. A lot of people go to church and won't tithe. But
they use a lot of the words, but don't mean any of it, you know. It's like, okay.
And that makes a big difference.
Okay. Yeah.
Makes a big difference. It really
does.
But
people listen to this. People listen to these people. That's the worst part of it.
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it
this
is.
World is really just a big test. I mean,
it is
know,
a big test.
You come to the point, eventually come to the point where you make a commitment to Christ in your heart and you be born again, according to John 3:3. And some people just stay there.
Right.
They don't try to find out what they're called to or try to, you know, further their walk with Christ. They just stay right there because they stay a baby Christian their whole life.
Well, can I ask what they tell evangelists who ask for all the money and give nothing back? I mean, I don't understand this. Like, where is the limit here?
In some ministries, you know, most Christian ministries have to ask for money.
But not like Joel Osteen or Billy Graham.
What about Billy Graham?
It's really a tough...
I mean, he was a big televangelist, I mean, I understand, but Joel Osteen took it a whole new level. Like, we want all the money,
yeah,
basically.
Well, what about Jim Baker?
Oh, don't get me started. Yeah. The same thing,
ended
really.
Up in prison.
But I'm like, why do they... I'm sorry, I didn't know.
The love of money is the root of all evil.
God doesn't need money, right? I mean,
but man does.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying they make it sound like God's laid on rent or something, you know?
What God's trying to do with these ministries is involve everybody in it. And so your contribution makes you part of it.
And they take it too much upon themselves.
Exactly. Like, they go overboard.
I want a helicopter. No, you can't. Sit down, Jim, you know? Not good. No, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Something's wrong is if you have to give 20% of your income to go to a church, there's something wrong. It should be free. No questions.
Both. I don't believe in tithing myself. Other people.
Well, I mean, if it works for you, say the Catholic Church, okay, that's. But if you. Have to give a certain income, no.
I went to a Bible meeting one time, and most of the time I don't argue about tithing because everybody's made up their mind, you know. But. The preacher that was over this church was, I thought he was way overboard with the tithing thing, you know, because you go to meetings where he was at, tithing, you know.
He has a gold watch next week.
Yeah. You know, you know, I'm looking at my watch like, okay, enough's enough of the tithing thing. You don't have to tithe in a church. All you have to do is just keep your mouth shut, not argue about it, because it ain't going to do no good, I found out. But at least I found out. But, There was this guy that was in charge of that Bible meeting. He was ready to pow, punch me in the mouth because of that. And he would follow me around at church and, you know, stand over there and do that passive-aggressive stuff that people do these days. And act like he wanted to knock me out and stuff. And I think one or two of the elders finally talked to him and said, you know, you need to leave that guy alone, man. You know, you can cause yourself a lot of trouble.
Right, right, you know? Right.
So he's bugged off.
God, like you said, we're free. We live our life, okay, in this world.
Well, what I wanted to just let me
And everybody has
that.
Their own opinions. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right, and this is one of the problems that the world has with Christianity is the narrow-mindedness. Now, you can't say that we're narrow-minded because we believe Christ is the only way, but there are periphery issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, about money, about tithing, about the rapture,
right,
and all that stuff. And I think we should, and speaking in tongues,
we're divided.
These things are on the periphery.
Right.
And it's not going to change your eternal destiny, whatever you believe about the rapture, whatever you believe about tithing and all that. It's not going to change where you're going to spend eternity. But people take it to be, and I call that the stuff that is important for you to believe so that you enter into the right eternity, is called central doctrine. You know, we better not be changing stuff about the resurrection. We better not be changing stuff about who we worship. You know, that has actually become a controversy these days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I haven't been talking about. Okay, so the world comes along and they say, I'm not saying the world is our judge, because they're not. But they get put off because we argue about the rapture and tithing and stuff as if it were central doctrine, and it's not. So this guy wouldn't allow me to have my own opinion. I should be allowed to have my expression of opinion.
That's true.
Because it's not going to change anything as far as people's destiny is concerned. But what's happened is a lot of these pastors these days, I think they've overstepped their bounds. And they expect us to serve them. You know, expect us to give them a car and a motorcycle, a place to live, and all that stuff. And I think they get spoiled. You know, they get really spoiled and they get really arrogant sometimes, you know. And they really put people off. Some of them don't care. They don't care if you leave. They're so pampered and
they make enough money for it.
They're not worried about it, you know. And then you see them running around in muscle cars and brand new Harleys and
helicopters.
Yeah. Who
planes,
had a helicopter?
Yeah, that's
Joel Osteen.
Oh yeah.
He's not the only one.
A billionaire.
Oh yeah. I don't know who runs World Harvest. That guy too.
Oh yeah. They're not the only one that
travel
around.
Oh, Ron Parsley.
Yeah. That's
in airplanes. Yeah.
I know, but those give they give a bad name real quick.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's
but
old
they have
news
people
now.
That they brainwashed, and there's thousands.
Yeah,
of them.
It's on the borderline of being a cult.
It
really is.
Yes,
unfortunate,
I agree.
But it's true. But yes, anyways, it's not like Waco, but still,
a lot of people have called World Harvest a cult.
No, we have an in-house
I agree.
Guest on the show today. Give your name.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Brandon Oak.
Brandon Oak. He's in-house. He's a guest on our show today with Jeff Porter, Expressions of the Last Days. And there's just a flow of conversation going on. We're on topic and off topic and on topic and off topic.
It's like playing tennis.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But, you know, when you get to talking about the Word of God, it happens like that.
Yeah, it's so fast.
If it's too straightforward, it's no fun.
Right,
you know, it's
right,
like, okay.
Right. But God does say in His Word, do not give grudgingly or out of necessity. And that's in 1st or 2nd Corinthians
I messed that up then. No.
But that's
you know, you should be able to go to church, and if you don't ever give them a dime, God's not going to hold that against you. That's the way I feel about it.
Well, that's the beauty of it. I mean, if he did, I mean, again, he doesn't need money. It's just the idea, I guess. But.
If there's enough people that love this church, it'll keep going, you know. God will speak to somebody's heart and say, you know, would you give such and such, you know, amount of money? And they do, because they want to be obedient to God. But, you know, it's not, if you disobey that, I don't think you're going to lose your salvation or anything. So we recognize that there is a serious problem inside of Christianity today, and the Bible predicted this. It's called the Great Apostasy. The researchers call it that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 3, says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, in other words, the tribulation, except there come a falling away first. So they're falling away from the truth today.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I find it very difficult to find a church. These days it's not already fallen away. And that man of sin be revealed. That's the Antichrist.
Right.
The son of perdition. Perdition means hell. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this is where we come to halfway through the tribulation. He's been rising up. I say that the tribulation lasts 7 years because I don't see how he could just pop up on the scene. I don't think people would accept him if he popped up on the scene and just took over right away. So he shows himself that he is God. So he's in the United Nations or somewhere. He's had a big influence in the world. The reason why I say economic collapse is because the most important thing to an awful lot of the world is money. You know, and we want to be able to buy things, you know, we want to have enough food, shelter, transportation, boats, brand new lawnmowers, brand new cars. And so it's not hard for him when he starts solving these problems, which I'm sure he will do. He'll be claiming to be God, so he'll be able to solve problems that were unsolvable before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember not ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, And you knew that he that withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And the Holy Spirit is holding him back until the day comes. For the mystery of iniquity, sin, does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit comes
right
out of the way. And then the Antichrist is revealed.
And that's why they say the church will not be here when this happens. Because when the Holy Spirit leaves, then the church is gone, and they won't be here. So they won't be here to see the Antichrist.
But it doesn't have to be interpreted that way.
I think it's all about timing. I really do. I think it's about timing.
What do you mean?
The rapture, it's all about timing. How close is that going to be to the Antichrist? You know what I'm saying? It's all about timing. All these things may even happen simultaneously, especially the rapture, you know, meeting Christ in the air.
I thought you didn't believe in the rapture.
There is going to be one.
You said you didn't even believe
in it. It's either pre, right, in the mid, or post.
Well, it's kind of like
what? I was post.
Like when
rapture, like you, post rapture.
I believe in the post tribulation rapture.
Right, right. Well, it's still rapture. We still believe in the rapture. It's just the timing of the rapture.
Yeah. Well, they don't like post tribulation rapture because they like pre tribulation rapture so they can avoid all the suffering.
Yeah, so they'll thank God to go ahead and get all the Christians out
there. Waiting on it like California going off, you know, break off from the coast. You know, it's like one day, the big one, but until then, you know.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Well, no, not to put it so, but, you know, it's like eventually, but we don't know when.
Yeah.
And I think that's on purpose. You know, there's a lot of things about prophecy that are vague because we don't want to, he doesn't want to describe everything in rock, you know, write it in rock because it's like he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to send you a book that tells you everything there is to know about your life.
It's not a stereo manual, you know. It's just
it's so that
take
things,
it as
can,
it is.
Things can happen that are kind of rubbery.
They were saying
how do you
that,
explain that
pre-trib is has not always been a belief until like the 1500s.
Yeah, some woman. I think she was Catholic. She had a vision. She said she had a vision. Of the church being taken out before Revelation takes place.
And that's
but,
where
you know,
his belief came
it's
from.
A really serious temptation to.
She wasn't killed for it? That, I mean, given that time.
No.
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 Well, not a bad thing, but you know, like, look at the.
Right. So it hasn't always been a belief,
it's
but
nasty
now.
Now.
Now they hammer that home.
Probably always worse. Yeah. Probably always will be. Realistically.
Yeah.
Realistically.
But,
where you at, Jeff?
All right, it was on. Let's go to verse 9.
Okay.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Here we go with the Antichrist again, with power and signs and lying wonders. So he's going to be able to do all kinds of miracles and flashy stuff in order to deceive people. And when all with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they received not the love of the truth, but that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, God's allowing the Antichrist to deceive the world. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Wherein he called you by our gospel to obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. That's another thing. We need to stand strong, take a strong stand.
Right.
In the last days. Nothing else will work. And hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by the word of God or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and even God our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work.
Stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught.
Yep.
Even as a child, you know, your parents or somebody, you know, around you went to church and knew the truth, knew the way, knew Christ, you know. I was sent to church, but yeah. I believe.
Verse 6 here, chapter 3. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he has received us. If you walk with somebody disorderly, guess what's going to happen? One of you is going to change.
Oh, yeah. And the unjust will change you faster than you will change them.
That's right.
It seems impossible, but it happens.
Weak.
It happens.
Nothing is impossible.
Time.
Everything is improbable.
Right.
Nothing is impossible.
Right. But you have to be a witness and
understand,
move on. And try move
to,
on.
Try to, at
least. Yeah, because you can't make a person do anything.
But that's the hard part, is, you know, moving on.
Moving on. Absolutely. Moving on.
So, Antichrist is like he's hovering around in United Nations or somewhere, wherever he is. And he's already got quite a bit of recognition.
Well, the influence, absolutely, because it's spiritual influence, you know.
He's probably on TV all the time.
Well, it rivals Christ himself, isn't it? I mean,
rival is, yeah.
No, the rivalry of, like, knowing somebody so far. I mean, think about it. Christ has been known for X amount of 2,000 years, whatever, sign. But then Antichrist has been relevant for, what, half of that? But still is prominent in some senses?
Well,
not, spirit of
not to give him energy, but the idea is like, okay, but there's always been, okay, there's a dark and a lightness to both sides. Anyways.
Yeah, because, you know,
they're both recognized.
God say he kill and make
regard.
Alive. Yeah, he create evil and do all, he said, I, the Lord, do all these things. So, he even created Judas for his day and Pharaoh for his day. You know, this is God's, like my daughter said, this is God's movie.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch, isn't it? It's like, hey, you know, you get a free ticket, let's enjoy it.
Yeah,
you
know? This is God's movie, you know, because all these things he ordained before the world.
Yep. There's a lot of cut actors, you know.
Yeah, that's really all we are, like you said. We're actors.
It's fun to watch. I'm like, okay.
He's hovering around like in the United Nations. He's got a lot of power, a lot of attention. And so during that time, sometime during that time, the Temple of Solomon is rebuilt. And he enters into the Temple of Solomon and claims to be God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's when Jesus said that the Jews should flee.
Run
into the mountains because of his extreme evil. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So he gets really mad about that. He sends his forces after them. And that says, we don't know exactly how this happens or whatever, but it says that God causes the earth to just swallow up those forces of the Antichrist. So they just kind of disappear.
Yeah.
Temporarily.
And he destroys them with the brightness of his coming.
Temporarily, I suppose, but they always tend to come back.
Oh, there's other forces. He sent a bunch of forces after that, but not all of them.
Yeah. Do you think at some point there was some misunderstanding of which were good and which were bad? I mean, there must be at some point.
What do you mean?
They can't all be bad.
Who?
Whatever the forces were sent.
Well, like I said.
I mean, there must be some confusion with so many sent from both sides, I would think.
I know. You would want to think that there's...
Everybody who follows Satan is on his side.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
So, this time, during the tribulation, see what happens is... Well, let me go on to the mark, okay? He comes back. He sees that his forces have been swallowed up.
But the number is wrong, right? It's not 666, it's 616.
Go ahead.
Okay.
That's
no,
my
it's,
next
it's
show.
Triple six.
Oh.
I'm doing two shows today.
Oh. You are.
Mm-hmm. Note to self. Okay.
Well, we have 2 minutes.
I mean, they can send the cash for God's sake.
Oh, that'd be okay. Only 2 days.
Okay.
He comes back to the temple. We don't know everything that happens in that time, but he's very angry about his forces being swallowed up. And so he institutes the mark, and that's in Revelation 13, starting with verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand, in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save if he have the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name.
Oh, yeah.
That he who has wisdom count the number of the beast or the number of a man. His number is 600, 366.
And I'll tell you something else to read. Isaiah 14, just read the whole chapter, and it will tell you how Satan got all out of whack and went for God's throne.
Yeah, he
Isaiah
God.
14. Yeah.
Well, can you blame him? I mean, look at the position he could have come in.
Really?
That's the envy of humanity at that point.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for coming and being on the show. We had a little excitement today.
Yeah,
we had a guest,
wow.
Huh? Sitting inside. Well,
and
praise God for that, and
thank you for coming.
You don't have to apologize. It made it a little interesting, didn't it? Yes, absolutely. Thank you for listening to A Voice of the People here live on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Again, my name is Linda Sims, and I have another show coming on at 5:15 until 6 p.m., Singles Choosing God's Best, Kimba Hubbard and Tim Jones. So stay around for that next show. Thank you, and God bless.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National